more than just an election. It's our future.
There is no doubt that if Donald steamrolls through Super Tuesday, that he may well be unstoppable.
I'd hope that people would open their eyes and see who Donald Trump really is.
The pledge is a two-way street, and if it's not that way, you're going to have a problem.
Tomorrow is Super Tuesday, so tonight we talk about the issues one last time with Michael DelGiorno and David Zanotti live from Woodmont Bible Church. Brought to you by Paul Winkler, the investment coach, on Supertalk 99.7 WTN.
And we probably should have mentioned that everybody that comes to the church tonight, there's $1,000 cash under your chair right now. We forgot to tell everybody.
I'm just trying to figure out what two Italians are doing in the same place here in Tennessee on the radio.
We came for pasta. There isn't any. We're broadcasting live from Woodmont Bible Church. Hey, my pastor, Lyndon Johnson, is on it. Lyndon Allen is on his way to Israel as we speak. Keep him and safe travels in your prayers, and thank him for this room tonight. And I thank everybody for coming in person. We're going to be broadcasting between now and 9 and kind of going over some things. I wanted to do something because I really struggled with why would we would even bother to do this tonight. Why on the night before Election Day would we gather, whether it's a church or a building, to discuss the night before Super Tuesday? And what could we possibly tell you that you couldn't get on CNN, MSNBC, or Fox News? And the reality is just about everything.
Yeah.
In fact, really what tonight is about is what we're going to talk about, reality and what's really coming, versus the narratives and perceptions and false narratives that are really being sold. And I want to just, with those of you that are in the room, kind of give you a start of where I'm coming from. How many of you think that Hillary Clinton has already won 100 delegates tomorrow before a single vote is cast or has even been counted? How many think she already has 100? Okay, three. How many of you think that Super Tuesday is going to represent about 50% of all the delegates needed in this presidential primary? Okay, two. How many of you think that Carson and Kasich are likely to get at least one or two delegates from Tennessee? Three, okay, you're getting better. How many of you think that there is a chance that Marco Rubio could get zero delegates from the state of Tennessee? And a pretty good chance, quite frankly. How many believe that? One. All right, this is just an example of what we really wanted to accomplish tonight. I don't think the mainstream media is going to tell you these things because I don't think they want you to know them. I'm not certain in some cases they understand it, but if they did, I don't think they want you to know it. So one of the things we wanted you to know is everything you need to know before you walk into a voting booth tomorrow. Because you could make a case that you should vote for the candidate you've chosen. Let's just say it's A, whether it's Cruz, Trump, Rubio, Carson, or Kasich. But you might be wise to vote for a few delegates from other candidates. And you might feel differently about that by the end of the evening. You might not know right now what winner-take-all is. How many think there are winner-take-all states tomorrow? How many think there are winner-take-most out there tomorrow? How many know what a winner-take-most is and how much is most? How many know the difference between the thresholds of what they have to get, a minimum of 20, and where? These are all the things that we're going to discuss tonight, and I think you're going to be a much more I don't know if you're going to be a much more educated voter and how much it's going to change the way you vote, but you're going to be a much more educated American and viewer tomorrow. So one of the things we're going to do in this opening segment is talk about where we are, really first how we got here, but where we are, where we are not, where we might be by the end of Super Tuesday, and then we'll begin to break down the difference between proportional states and winner take most and winner take all. But I guarantee you there's a lot of narratives out there that don't feel bad because this room did not pass the test, which tells me we were wise to come tonight. But that is by mainstream media design. And so we're going to bust that tonight. I've asked David Zanotti to join me. Give him a round of applause. He is from the American Policy Roundtable. He's also a co-host of a fledgling national show heard on 200 stations nationwide, including WTN. He's an average golfer, one heck of an American, and a true brother in Christ.
Fledgling? That show has been on the air since 1989.
Fledgling.
It's still getting off the ground.
A couple of decades.
How's this sounding? Because I'm a little tinny in my ears. Are we coming across okay for everybody else? Okay.
What do you want, like a sound for? And by the way, you come with a Tennessee.
Well, of course, because it proves your first point. You wondered why I brought this in. I didn't tell you.
Well, I thought it was for my cat litter.
Well, you could have it for that at the end.
That's what I use it for.
I opened the Tennessean this morning online and in the actual print edition, and here's what we come up with. I've got Clinton Caps or Visit Caps Busy Time, another story about someone recovering from cancer, and Baptist 21 wants religious political divide. I don't have a thing on the front page about Super Tuesday and the Republican vote for the primary. I've got two little pictures of Rubio, and I can even, without my glasses, I can barely see who they are. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
So the reality of the story is the media is not telling people what's really going on tomorrow, and people don't know. They really poorly informed. And that's unfortunate because those kinds of lack of information points determine votes, which determine outcomes, which determine presidencies.
Yeah, and I think what you're going to see is the parties want to have a say, and I get that. And so part of this process, I don't want you to lose complete hope in your party. I will say that the Democrats have a lot more say in who their nominee is than the Republicans do. But the Republicans do have some rules in order to control and have a say. So before we get to where we are and where we are not, let's talk about how we got here. I said something on the air last week that we will have, and when I say this, I could name any numbers, but I mean people like Dianne Black, Marsha Blackburn, Lamar Alexander, Speaker Boehner, a lot of names come to mind. We have Republican failed promises to thank for the creation of Donald Trump. And my fear is, and you can take this as a prophetic word because we're in a house of the Lord as I read the banner, my prophetic word is we may have Donald Trump to thank for a Hillary Rodham Clinton presidency. You kind of explained it a little more eloquently. I guess that's because you've been around since 89. Call it more of a wave. And I think that's an interesting place to start, too, because I think the wave of anti-establishment is enough to bust. I'm from New Orleans, so forgive this, but break down the levees on the Republican side. For Bernie Sanders, there's an equal wave. It just wasn't strong enough to bust the levee on the Democrat side because their party can control so much, which I'm going to get to when we get to where we're at. But let's talk about that notion, what this election really, how we got here to Super Tuesday, and what seems to be the prevailing motivation for voting.
Waves have two sides. And the first crashing in wave was the 2008 Obama victory. It was a movement.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this person ran, and if you remember the yard signs, they didn't even have his name on a yard sign. It simply said hope and change. Now, that's never happened before in the history of American politics in a national election. So it was a wave.
It did have his O logo.
Right? Yeah. So that wave came in, and for the last 8 years, that wave has crashed upon the country.
And it sucked $20 trillion out with it, is what it did on the
other end. As you will. By the way, I need to let everybody know here. Now, I'm a registered independent. That means that I will not be casting a ballot tomorrow for the presidency. And the reason that I'm doing that is so that people cannot accuse me of sitting here and carrying somebody else's water. Because I work for a nonprofit organization.
I'm a Jesus freak, but I'm going to cast a vote tomorrow.
Now, I'm very strongly encouraging everyone to vote tomorrow because of the fact that we do iVoters.com, which is to encourage people to go vote. This is what we do. But to get it done well, one of us has to stay one step out so that we can basically present both sides and not have everybody else crashing and saying that's just one more X, Y, or Z. All right, so that's why I do what I do. So that's the reason that I do it. It's not because I don't have passion about the issues. All right, the wave has crashed in. Well, waves have two sides, right? They come in and they go out. And right now we're looking at the undertow of this wave going out. We're looking at the undertow coming back of all the political correctness, all the division, all the executive orders, all the white-hot rhetoric, all the people who have felt that they have been put down and put down and put down and put down. And now the wave's coming back the other way. And that is very difficult to gauge. And this is where we got to be careful, because just tonight on the way in, before I got in, I was listening to CNN. And what they're basically telling you is they're running, their lead story is national polls on the presidential election. Has Donald Trump at 41% and everybody else at so on, so on, so on. Well, wait a minute. If you flip that the other way around, that means that 60 or 59% of Republicans don't want Donald Trump. You could run that either way. But you see, to try to extrapolate a national election off of a primary is stupid. It's just dumb math, but they're doing it because they want people to think this is a horse race, and it's not yet a horse race.
You said something earlier on the Dan Mandis show I thought was a great way to frame before we start, and that is tomorrow I promise you, and I can't promise you the results, But I would guess that Donald Trump's going to probably win 8. We actually have 11 Super Tuesday primaries, and there are 3 caucuses. So there's really actually 14 Republican races. I think for the Democrats...
He's going to pass the test, by the way. When
For the Democrats, it's 11 states and the American Samoas, because we're all waiting to see. Is that a Girl Scout? No, it's the American Samoas. But anyway, and there's 22% of their total delegates up for grabs tomorrow, and for the Republicans, 25%. But the way you phrased it is, we know what the narrative is going to be Wednesday morning. Right. Trump won 8 of 12 or 8 of 11, and he is steamrolling to the presidency. Well, if you look at it by how many states he's won, and you know what the other narratives are going to be, Cruz is yet to win his second state. Rubio's yet to win his first. And it's all irrelevant. And I always use this analogy on my show, and I don't think anybody really gets it. Must not have a lot of hockey fans. My son is obsessed with shots on goal. So if the game is 1-1 between the Predators and the Blackhawks, but the Blackhawks have 22 shots on goal and the Predators have 20, he is thoroughly convinced that the Blackhawks are winning. And I keep telling him, no, it just means they have 2 more shots on goal, but it's a tie game 1-1. And that's kind of what
it
is, because it's about delegates. That's the only scoreboard that matters, right. And people just simply don't get that.
And people don't get how the delegates are going to be awarded as well. Now, just so you understand, we didn't make these rules. These rules were established by the two political parties. The two political parties, by the way, are not the state. They are organizations that the states are facilitating. You understand that? The two parties don't exist as a matter of law. It's not in our Constitution that says there is a Republican and Democrat party. Yeah. All right. So this is a phenomena of the parties that the states are facilitating. So if you were going to go sue somebody, you can't sue the state of Tennessee. You'd have to sue one of the parties, Republicans and Democrats. They set up the rules. We didn't set up the rules.
All right, when we come back, we're going to look at where we're at. I think we kind of gave you a foreshadow of how we got here. There's a feeling in America of anger and frustration and mistrust. And for the Democrats, it's just as much against the establishment as the Republicans. The problem is Bernie can't bust the levy. Donald Trump has. But has he steamrolled his way to an inevitable nomination? I still got my money on a brokered convention, but we'll start with where we are and where we are not when we come back to Woodmont Bible Church, our live town hall meeting on Super Tuesday, brought to you by Paul Winkler, Inc. on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is Super Tuesday Eve, live town hall on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. We're live from the Woodmont Bible Church in West End, brought to you by Paul Winkler, Inc. And I'm joined by David Zanotti from American Policy Roundtable, and I am Michael DelGiorno. And, of course, we're getting everybody ready for the Super Tuesday vote. Just so you know what is at stake, we'll kind of run things down. About 25% of all the delegates are up for grabs on Super Tuesday for the Republicans. Now, just so you know, and David alluded to whom you should sue, about 70% will be winner-take-most decisions. So about 438 of the 624 delegates will be in winner-take-most with thresholds, and about 186 from pure proportional, although they have thresholds, too, anywhere ranging from 10 to 0, with the thresholds being 50% to 20, 15, 5, and we'll explain what that means. You have 0 winner-take-all elections tomorrow on Super Tuesday, 7 winner-take-most, and 5 proportionals. The two biggest prizes, Texas, 155 delegates, though you'll see nobody's going to walk away with all 155. 76 in Georgia, which might be, I think, out of all of them that I've been studying, and you do study this, if you really understand it, until your brain literally explodes, and then you take a break and you leave the room and you go play baseball with yourself, because that's what happens. And then, of course, we've got the caucuses in North Dakota, Alaska, and Wyoming. So we wanted to start today, before we explained to everybody how everything's going to work on Super Tuesday, we alluded to how we got here. America's angry. Why? Because, to your wave analogy, we got Barack Obama, and we got change. And hope's all you got left. The change you got is we're now $20 trillion in debt. We have certainly, of course, diminished our standing in the world. And things have progressed and emboldened an enemy, whether it is Sunni or Shia, depending on whether you view Iran on the path to a nuclear weapon, and we're now the largest supporter of terrorism in cash, or whether it's the creation of ISIS, let alone Benghazi, that is now controlled by Al-Qaeda. So things have all gone in a bad direction. There's an interesting thing that played out yesterday. Hillary Clinton decided to immediately after her first decisive win in South Carolina turn her attention right to the general. She all but proclaimed victory, went to church, and turned everything right to Trump. We're going to get to this later. Very wise to do, I might add. But what's interesting is why she does that and why she feels she can do that. So I want to start with the Democrats. Hillary tied in Iowa based on a coin toss. She was beat in a landslide in New Hampshire. She had a 6-point victory in Nevada in a caucus, and then over the weekend, her first decisive victory in South Carolina. And decisive it was, 73.5% of the vote to Bernie Sanders, 26. She got 43 delegates. He only got 14. Here's what's interesting. You would think after tying in Iowa, losing in a landslide, winning narrowly, and then winning in a landslide, it'd be still pretty even. But what would be shocking for most Democrats to understand is that Hillary Clinton already leads by 457 and, frankly, 557 because she already has 100 superdelegates tomorrow that hasn't even happened, pledged already. Now, if you take away these superdelegates, because Hillary's gotten 452 of the superdelegates to Bernie Sanders, 20. 452 to 20. If you don't think the Democratic Party is deciding who their nominee is not, and not Democratic caucus and primary voters, you just don't understand the process. Keep this in mind. Tomorrow hasn't even happened yet. Do you know that Hillary has already gotten 3 superdelegates from Alabama? She's gotten 4 out of 5 in the American Samoa, 5 out of 5 in Arkansas. She leads 10-0 in superdelegates in Colorado, 11-0 in Georgia, 17-1 in Minnesota, 11-1 in Oklahoma, Tennessee, she leads 5-0, Texas, she leads 18-0, Vermont, she lives, this is Bernie Sanders' home state, Vermont, she leads 4-3 in superdelegates, and Virginia, 11-0. Hillary Clinton already has 100 superdelegates in the bank account, and tomorrow hasn't even happened yet, to Bernie Sanders, 6. If you take these superdelegates away, Hillary'd only be leading 90-65, and you got a real horse race. Now, the reason I bring that up is because they have the same issues the Republicans do. Their establishment's angry, too, believe it or not. They don't know how angry they should be if they understood how the delegates are awarded, but they're angry, too, and they want pure socialism. You see, Bernie Sanders always has been socialist. Hillary drifted in because the party has gone that far left. And so there is this notion that Bernie wants to give everything to everybody, where Hillary just wants to give everything to minorities. And so that anger is playing out. And believe it or not, there's over half of America that thinks Barack Obama, if you want to talk about waves, didn't go far enough, didn't get on shore far enough. They wanted cap and trade, and they didn't get it. They wanted universal health care, and they haven't got it. So they have the same anger mistrust issue with their party as Republicans do. The difference is on the Republican side, Trump has broken through. So where do we stand on the Republican side? Because we want to answer the question, where are we before tomorrow happens? Well, Donald Trump leads with 81 delegates, and Cruz and Rubio are tied for second with 17. Kasich has 6. Carson has 4. Bush, Fiorina, and Paul all suspended their campaigns. Bush has 4, Fiorina has 1, and Paul has 1. And 25% of the votes are at stake tomorrow, 624, 438 from winner take most, and we'll go through the thresholds. That's where we are. Do you care to chime in with where we are not? Well, by the way, you need 1,237 delegates to secure the nomination and avoid a broker convention. So I'll tell you where you're not. Everywhere these mainstream media narratives take you, it's just simply not a reality. It simply isn't even math. And they either don't understand it or they don't want you to understand it is the thesis for my evening.
And that's part of the rationale as to why these candidates have not dropped out. People are saying, why don't you just drop out and square off one person versus one person on the Republican side like you have on the Democrat side? It's because these are still proportional states. It wouldn't make sense to drop out until Wednesday. Because you could get into a situation where Trump could win 8 states with 34, 35, 36% of the vote, but come away with fewer delegates than Rubio and Cruz combined. You see? So who won really if the goal is to get to 1237? You all remember the television, the old television show. Well, some of you are too young to remember the old television show, Hollywood Squares. Sometimes you would make a choice to win, and sometimes you'd make a pick to block, right? Well, right now, what everyone's doing is blocking. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to block anyone from getting too far out in front to get to that run of 1237, because once we get to the 15th, then we're in a situation where it is a winner-take-all. So if a person wins a race with 38% of the vote, they get everything. So that's where they're trying to get positioned.
Now, you want to watch what little hair he has, Curl? So in crunching the numbers, what kind of a day tomorrow would Donald Trump have for the narrative to match the reality? And literally, you would look and say, well, with the winner-take-all is coming, he's going to get there.
Well,
versus
for example,
the greatest likelihood, I think by the end of tomorrow, we're going to have a pretty good vision of how it's impossible for anyone to get there, and especially if you drag Romney out of the closet and block a few West Coast states.
Well, we could talk about that. I think that's a little
second
late.
Hour.
Yeah, in the scenario. But if, for example, if Texas is probably the most important state tomorrow. Tennessee, believe it or not, might be the second most. Alabama and Georgia.
Georgia would be, but it's so obvious what's going to happen there that it's not.
So those four are really critical. Well, let's take 155 on the delegate count for Texas. Trump could win Texas, but if he doesn't win Texas by 51%, he doesn't win the whole prize. So if
no polls suggest that's possible.
And right now he's down 9 in the accumulation of most polls. So if he comes in second place and it's a close third, and he gets beat by 8 or 9 points at the top, he walks away with nothing better than the third place person. In other words, it's not a big win for him. And well, the question is, will the narrative come up and say, oh, my gosh, Trump lost Texas. And now suddenly the delegate count for a few minutes will waver. So there are going to be times in the count where Trump could actually be in second or third place tomorrow night.
What happens if somebody doesn't get 20 in Texas?
Well, and that's the other thing. If somebody doesn't get to 20 in Texas or Tennessee or some of these other threshold states, they get 0.
So think of this. Here's my best guess tomorrow. I think Trump could get about maybe 29 to 32% of the vote in Tennessee. I think Cruz is going to be in the mid-20s. There's a good chance Rubio is going to be about 19, 18. There's a good chance that Donald Trump and Ted Cruz split all of Tennessee. Believe it or not, Carson, for all the people out there, you could make, and I don't want to do this because you should vote for who you believe in, but you could make a case that every vote for Ben Carson and Governor Kasich are certainly votes for Donald Trump tomorrow.
The way the game is being played.
Yes.
This isn't a horse race. It's a board game. Now, let me just speak to that for just a second.
Yeah, in 1 minute because we've got to take a break.
This is where people get divided. Sometimes in elections you vote with your heart or your conscience. Sometimes you vote strategically. You vote to block. Sometimes you vote to win. Sometimes you vote to make a statement. Nobody stands accountable to anybody on this earth for how you vote. You stand accountable to God for how you vote. So if a person says, I'm voting my heart, or I'm voting my conscience, or I'm voting my head, I don't judge anybody. What I'm encouraged is you're voting, and you have a reason to vote. But you need to be aware, you're exactly right. If you cast a vote for someone who doesn't get to 20%, it's a little bit like voting for the other guy.
Yeah, I'm not telling you how to vote. I just want you to be aware of what's coming tomorrow. That is my job, for you to understand the process, because I think talk radio is about educating. I think it's about understanding. I think it's about activation. You know, if by the way, if you follow social media, you'll be almost as stupid as if you're deceived and follow mainstream media. So I just want you to be the smartest guy in your house, smartest guy in your room. I don't want you to ever be surprised. But so one of the things we're going to do when we come back is kind of look at this and how it lays out. I'm going to let David have the fun of explaining to you thresholds and how they work, proportional versus winner take all.
I was very poor at math in school, so this will be easy to understand.
just so that you can understand how it works. It's our Super Tuesday Eve live town hall meeting, just trying to understand what's coming tomorrow and what's not coming. We kind of paved the way of where we are, where we're not, and what we can expect by this time tomorrow night, which is a whole other party I'll tell you about after the break. More from Woodmont Bible Church, brought to you by Paul Winkler, Inc. on Super Talk 99.7 WTN next.
It's more than just an election. It's our future.
This guy's a choke artist, and this guy's a liar.
If he hadn't inherited $200 million, you know where Donald Trump would be right now? Watches in Manhattan.
After months of debate, countless speeches, and even a few insults, tomorrow is Super Tuesday. So tonight, it's one last look at the issue with Michael DelGiorno and David Zanotti, live from Woodmont Bible Church. Brought to you by Paul Winkler, the investment coach, on Super Talk 99.7.
By the way, per my program director, Dan Mandis, I wanted to acknowledge personally my gratitude to Paul Winkler at Paul Winkler, Inc. I offered to kiss his butt. He wouldn't let me. But I would like to thank him for
Dan
sponsoring.
Dan or Paul's? I'm sorry.
Paul's,
I was confused.
Not
okay,
Dan's.
All right.
I don't kiss Daddy.
All right.
But yes, we thank our sole sponsor, Paul Winkler, Inc., for tonight's Super Tuesday Eve live broadcast from Woodmont Bible Church. How many of you are getting following so far? We're not going too fast? Are we boring and going too slow?
No, we can speed it up. They're ready. They want more.
All right. Well, so here we go. We kind of covered the momentum that is really driving this presidential primary cycle. You call it a wave. I call it thank the failed Republicans for creating Trump. And you might thank Trump for creating President Hillary Clinton. Or at least that's my fear. So here we come to Super Tuesday. We have Minnesota, 38 delegates, Virginia, 42 delegates, Arkansas, 40 delegates, Oklahoma, 43, Alabama, 50, Texas, the big prize, 155, Tennessee, 58, Georgia, 76, Colorado, 37, Vermont, 16, Alaska, 28, Massachusetts, 42, Wyoming, 29. In the end, you have 11 states and three caucuses. That's what's up for grabs. But not all of them are the same, and none of them are winner-take-all. And now to explain to you the difference between winner-take-most and proportional and thresholds, and we could go through each one. I'll give you an example. In Tennessee, the threshold is 66. I think we can all agree nobody's going to get 66% of the Republican vote, although it might be interesting. I don't know what the threshold is for the Democrats. Hillary might be able to get there in Tennessee. But 66 and then a threshold of 20. Let's just take Tennessee and explain to them how that works.
If this works, do I get a doctoral degree from WTN University?
No, but
you
get to take over the latest office we open for Paul Winkler, Inc.
There we go.
That would put you, I think, what's next? McMinnville, right? You will run the McMinnville
office
if you can do it.
That's wonderful. All right. Let's take a look at Tennessee. Melanie, can we throw up that slide? All right, we're going to try a slideshow and do radio slideshows. We do this all the time. So you tell me.
How do you know who Melanie is? How did you? How do you snap and get water?
There's friends and influence people, Michael.
Did you bring these people with you?
Okay, yes. All right, and they made those slides up for me just because I told them. Okay, 58 delegates. So there's our state of Tennessee right up there. 58 delegates.
Can I interrupt though? Not all 58 are technically.
No kidding. That's what I was gonna say, Miguel. Give me a taste.
I just don't want you to make it too easy for them. I want you to show them how confusing they've made
this. The first thing you do is you throw three off the top. It's 55 that are contested. Why do you throw three off the top? Because the Republicans have a little bit of that super delegate game going on. Every state has been granted three delegates from the RNC, and they determine how they're to be allocated. In most of the instances, those three delegates are committed by the state party to vote for whoever wins the most votes in the primary, okay? But for the ones that are in contest tomorrow, it's 55. Now, how are they going to be awarded? There's two kinds of delegates. There are statewide delegates, and there are congressional district delegates. So if you win the state of Tennessee, you've actually won the first level of delegate. There's two races going on at the same time. It's like a board game.
Counting the three that they've thrown off.
Right, not counting the three. Now, already you're saying to yourself, this is kind of stupid. It doesn't make a lot of sense. There's one state that makes sense tomorrow. It's Virginia. It's 100% proportional. If you go in and you get 1% of the vote, you get 1% of the delegates. You get 99, you get 99% of the delegates. It's simple. It's proportional. This thing's set up on multiple tiers. So you got to understand if it's a board game, you're trying to win two different pieces of the board. You're trying to win statewide so that you have a certain number of the delegates, and then you're trying to win in the congressional district. Let's talk statewide. There's 28 at-large statewide delegates in Tennessee. To get one of them, you have to get at least 20% of the vote. All right? You with me?
All right, can I
so if you don't get if you get 19% of the statewide vote, you get nothing.
All right, it is possible. First of all, it is. I think we can honestly. I don't want to say anything inappropriate. It is impossible that Ben Carson or Governor Kasich get 20%? Could we at least?
There's nothing out there that
would suggest
that they will.
All right. So and then
with God, all things are possible. So I'll never say it's impossible.
That's how you get slideshows in water,
uh-huh.
Right?
That's right. Right.
All right. And so the bubble would be probably Rubio, who could possibly not get to 20.
And drop
and be
the
in
names.
The high
if you've got five people participating trying to get to something in 100% market, let's face it. I mean, three will probably get there if I've got to get over 20%. Just common sense, right? I mean, it's like pieces of a pie. How many ways can you slice it if the goal is I've got to get it at least at 20%? So that's what's going to happen. Three are going to be in play. And again, it doesn't matter what their names are. There'll be three that are in play. The question is, if somebody comes in and romps the state and wins it with 67% of the vote, they get everything.
They get all 58.
But with five people in the race, what are the odds of getting 67%? Right. No, it's not going to happen either. So what we're doing is we're fighting in the 30s and the 20s, and you've got to get to 20. So if your candidate is marginal, your vote means a heck of a lot to get them to 20% of the total vote count. You showing up means a heck of a lot to get them into the game. So let's say they get into 20. Thank you. Perfect. So 67% gets you everything and wins all 31 delegates on the statewide. But let's go to the next one. You're doing excellent with this. Okay. We're back to the 51, and let's go one more. Okay. This is what our state looks like. Now we've got the congressional districts, right? This is what Tennessee looks like. You've got 9 congressional districts. Those congressional districts are going to award. Now watch this. This is like a game of Risk, okay? The congressional districts give you 27 delegates. There's 3 per district. 9 districts, 3 per, that's 27. You can't have one of them if you don't get to 20%.
But they get equally divided evenly with the people that get there.
Right.
Right.
All right. Now, let's just say, so you've got to get to 20% to be able to tap into that part of the game, into the congressional district delegates. And if you are the winner of that race, if the congressional district that you're in is won by candidate X, he gets, now again, he's obviously over 20%. Let's say that he's candidate X is over 20%. He gets 2 of the 3 automatically. The second place person, if they got to 20% or more, they get 1. So the board game on the congressional district splits to award a 2-1. 2-1. Make sense? That's the way it's going to play tomorrow.
But the statewide does not.
No, the statewide is based on proportional,
right?
Over 20%.
Got to get to 20.
Two sets of this. Now, let me make, can we throw the scenario with them we talked about?
Let me give them one quick review. So you got 3 that are superdelegates. So there's 55 in contention, but 58 total. 27 come from congressional districts, and there's 3 per 9 congressional districts, 3 per each. Right. And if somebody wins, let's say 30%, and the other guy wins 20, it goes 2-1. And then statewide, you have 28 total delegates that are. Now you understand when you call a radio station, you say, could you explain to me how the delegates work? And they all go, we got to take a break. We'll be back. And because it's that confusing. All right. So let's give everybody. I gave you a scenario.
I'll throw it right back. Right.
Okay.
Michael gives me the scenario, says, okay, here's how it works. Let's say tomorrow, and forgive us if we use these names. Okay. You switch them however you want. We'll put names because we're familiar. Let's say Trump gets 36%, Cruz gets 26%. Or if you're more comfortable saying, Cruz gets 26%. It doesn't matter.
Just do one. Don't confuse them more. It's already confusing enough.
Trump gets 36%. Cruz gets 26%. And Rubio gets 19%.
19.
All right. Rubio gets nothing. Boom. He's out. 0. Unless he wins a congressional district. What are the odds of him winning a congressional district if he's getting hammered at the top and he's 3rd in the line? Extremely slim.
Though we saw in Iowa in the caucus.
It could happen.
It could happen.
But extremely slim. So Rubio gets nothing. If Trump gets 36% of the vote and Cruz gets 26% of the vote, here's the way it works. Watch this now. Trump gets 18 of the congressional votes because what we're going to presume is that Trump wins all 9 of the congressional districts. With a split that's 36 to 26, chances are he won every congressional district. That 10 points would probably play out to him having won all. So he gets 27% or 27 of the congressional districts on the statewide. He gets 18. Tomorrow's election in Tennessee is 34-21. 34 Trump. Or excuse me, 36 Trump, 26 Cruz.
No, that's what if they got that percentage. You were right the first time.
I'm sorry. Sorry. 30. There you go. Great. Can't read my own notes. 34-21. So you walk away and say, who won Tennessee? Well, Trump won Tennessee. He won 34-21. That's it. Now, you need 1237.
So what's 13 votes when you need 1237? That's the point. This is the difference between reality and narrative is the point of our evening. Does this make sense to everybody?
And Tennessee is or Texas is very similar to this. So the numbers just get bigger.
Well, let me chime in and say, we are not, just so you know, because you guys would all run to the bathroom. I could do this for all 11 states. I'm doing Tennessee as an example. We're not.
No,
going to
I'm doing Tennessee as an example.
Yeah, but I just want you to know. There's. But now, when you turn on Fox and you see, you know, Brett Baer and Megyn Kelly telling you what's going to happen tomorrow, they don't have an idea of what's going to happen tomorrow.
And what they'll say is, now back to the decision desk.
Goofball Cowboys. Right. By the way, I do disagree with you in that I do think I do think it's possible tomorrow in congressional districts right here in Middle Tennessee where Cruz could win and still lose decisively statewide. So,
yeah.
But anybody that can tell you the formula is, oh, it's going to be this, this, or this. We don't know. I will tell you this. Let's say, hypothetically, you're for Marco Rubio. There's one number you're staring at. Don't even care if he's in first. Don't even care if he's in second. You're looking for him to have 20% of the vote, or you got nothing, not a crumb. So if it's Cruz or if it's Rubio, Trump's going to get to 20. The polling suggests that, and so does the momentum. But you're looking for your guy. When you see Carson at about 8 and you see Kasich at about 4, don't even bother looking anymore. They're going to get nothing. It's as if they never happened. They're a tree that fell in the forest. Did it make a noise? I don't know. The way this system is, it didn't. All right? So that's what I want you guys to
Where
understand.
Where does he come up with this
Well,
stuff
no,
from?
But I just want you to know how confusing it is. So, that, you know, we will be breaking this down live from the Wild Wings Cafe. Dan wants me to get that. And that, too, is also brought to you by Paul Winkler, Inc., with 9 convenient locations.
Including McMinnville.
And I think it's also brought to you by whiskey, which we might all be drinking by the end of tomorrow night. But anyway... you know, we're going to have to look at congressional districts. But the first thing to look at is my guy got at least 20. Does anybody got above 66%? That's just not going to happen. But if they did, they'd get all 58. It's not going to. So the next thing you look at is, did my guy get 20? And then the next thing you won't know, but people with computers can look up, is what did they do in congressional districts to know which 2-1 or 1-2 they're going to get?
Now, lest you decide to hate your party, whatever one it is, for setting you into this insane board game.
Oh, it's worse than the Democrats.
You just feel totally pressed upon. Let me explain to you why the Republican National Committee did this. Now, they're not here to defend themselves, so I'll try to defend them as an independent. They didn't want, I got to say this out loud, they didn't want a long and drawn-out controversial primary in 2016.
Too late.
Honestly, that's what their attitude was. They were going to compress this thing down. They were going to hand it to the states. They were going to set up this multiple tier to prevent a long, drawn-out primary. There's just one problem. They didn't understand the wave. They didn't see Donald Trump coming, and they didn't see 17 people starting off in the quest, so that it started off so slow it took this long to get to 3 or 4. So in essence, this is totally mismatched.
Let me ask you, I'm going to ask you in the form of a question that we've got to break because we're 5 minutes late. How different is this from any other presidential election in the past? Because I often see Fox is very guilty of this. They like to take historic paradigms and apply it to this year, and I laugh at my TV. I mean, you know, I'll admit to you that, you know, Megyn Kelly is prettier than I am. But, I mean, other than that, I want to throw things at the TV. They're so stupid. And if anybody applies old paradigms, do you know these people were still talking like, hey, if you come out of, you know, come in close in Iowa and you win New Hampshire, you're off and running, as if this is John McCain's year. I mean, it's like they don't even understand what is going on or how real the anger. They're still scratching their head going, I can't believe that the evangelicals are even voting for Trump. Why can't you? That's how angry everyone is.
We've worked 9 consecutive presidential elections. That goes back 36 years. And furthermore, we've studied every presidential election from the beginning when George Washington ran. There's never been an election like this. The only time there's been an election that even remotely indicates the kind of disruptive technology that Donald Trump encompasses, embodied, is Andrew Jackson. That's how far back you have to go to find a wave election with a personality who basically just marches in and everybody says, that's my guy, and I don't care about anything else.
Yeah, nothing blows it, nothing... Yeah. Hampers it. All right. Real quickly, I'm going to tell you that tomorrow of the primary Super Tuesday states, Alabama, Arkansas, Minnesota, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, Virginia, and Wyoming are open voting. That means you can be a Democrat and vote in a Republican, vice versa. In Alaska, which is a caucus, Georgia, Massachusetts, and in Oklahoma, it is GOP and independent only, and none are simply GOP. In Alabama, there's a 50% threshold and a 20%. So in other words, in Alabama, somebody gets 51%, they get it all. If they don't get 50%, it starts being proportional with a threshold of at least 20%. So remember the long 20 minutes we did on Tennessee? Apply this now to all these places. Arkansas is a 50-15 threshold. Minnesota is a 10% proportional. Tennessee is 66-20 threshold. Texas is 50-20. Vermont, 50-20. Virginia is proportional at zero, as David suggested, the only one that makes sense.
That's the Sesame Street primary. Just show up.
Caucus in Wyoming, and then you've got Alaska, which is proportional with a caucus. Georgia is a 50-20 threshold. Massachusetts is proportional, but with a 10% threshold. And Oklahoma is a 50-15 threshold. So imagine that long thing we did for Tennessee that's going to be taking place all over the country. I would just end this segment by saying, look for your guy to at least make it to 20%. That's the main thing you're looking for. And then if you're wondering who's going to get delegates, well, you'd almost have to go through the 27 congressional districts and how that plays out, 2-1. The winner gets two, the other second place gets one. Or statewide, the 28. And don't forget the superdelegates that go to whoever wins the entire state. All right, so I hope you understand thresholds. I hope you understand winner take most, winner take all, proportional. As we continue our live town hall meeting from Woodmont Bible Church.
Bravo, Michael Del Giorno. You did it. Look at that.
No, you did it. I owe it all to you. I want to thank my mother and father. I want to thank George McGovern. Super Tuesday Eve, live from Woodmont Bible Church on the West End on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. In the Music City. You're listening to information-fueled, opinion-driven Super Talk. It's Super Tuesday Eve, and we're broadcasting live from the Woodmont Bible Church in the West End, having a town hall meeting, trying to explain the difference between the narratives that are really driving most people in America and realities. And again, we're going to spare you going through every state, but we did show you by using Tennessee as an example. How there are super delegates, three, there are 55 contested. You have statewide, you have congressional. The congressionals are awarded 2-1, statewide or proportional, and you have to get a threshold of 20 unless somebody should get to 66%, which I think is impossible. Nobody's getting all 58 delegates in Tennessee. And we could do that for every caucus and for every state. You know, one of the things that we wanted to kind of discuss is, you know, how we got here, where we are, what's tomorrow worth and its value, and how will it play out? And then I think the last thing is just kind of, things that are real, like momentum and endorsements and attacks and mess-ups and how they play in. And then I think we just had somebody come up during the break and ask something very significant, and that is we really don't have a lot of polling. And what little polling we've had in Tennessee from MTSU, they're hardly Quinnipiac University. I didn't mean to slam them, but I mean, they're not known for their presidential polling. We really don't know what we have tomorrow. I would suspect Cruz and Trump to do very well in Tennessee, though.
Well, all of these candidates have significant consulting firms working for them, and every one of those firms was in the field this past weekend, particularly last night. Did anybody get any polling calls last night or this weekend?
Well, there's one.
So one person got a call, two.
I never
People
get
got polling
called.
Calls. Okay. All right, and did you get it on a landline or on your cell phone? Cell phone? Cell phone, landline. Okay. So two people here got polled. Every one of these folks was in the field last night because that's the most important night before the election is the Sunday night. Everybody knows that. All the movement that's happening is bellwethered at that moment on Sunday night. Why are they not releasing that to the press? Why are they not releasing it to everybody? Because obviously it's not as good for Trump as they hope it would be, or they'd be releasing it to everybody.
Potentially, yeah.
Potentially. And obviously, it's not what the other people hoped for, too. There's some serious confusion out there. This last debate changed the dynamics of this thing. And so they're holding their numbers. They're not letting everybody know what's going on. There's a reason for that. Believe me, they know. The campaigns know where the numbers were as of last night.
And events that take place don't impact all states the same.
Exactly.
You know, there are certain places where, you know, the David Duke one is one I would bring up. I hate to do it anecdotally, but...
Yeah, that good. We're going to break on David Duke's.
Perfect. No, but that's one that was simple to answer.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. My earpiece isn't working. Sorry.
It would have been a simple thing to say. Listen, I don't know David Duke.
Who?
I can't control who likes me. I can't control who doesn't like me, who endorses me, who doesn't endorse me. I can tell you this, as a candidate, there's nothing I stand for that is going to benefit a white supremacist or the KKK. But I don't know what he said, who he... I mean, it would have been an easy thing to answer. There are places that might play. There are places where the Trump University might play. So when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the momentums, endorsements, and attacks. And then we'll get to our sample ballot in Tennessee as our Super Tuesday evening live broadcast continues from Woodmont Bible Church on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. I'm Michael Del Giorno along with David Zanotti, brought to you by Paul Winkler, Inc. More in a moment after the news.